Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
about the coming of the judgment.
Very well, very well.
I'm gonna tell you about the coming of the judgment.
Very well, very well.
Oh, preachers, grab your Bibles.
Very well, very well.
Oh, preachers, grab your Bibles.
Very well.
Almighty God, thank you for just bringing us together one more time on this a special day that you have gifted to us, the Sabbath. And as we have just been basking in your presence, and as you have just been giving gifts after gifts after gifts, blessings after blessings after blessings, it allows our heart to be filled with more honor, more praise, more adoration, and more worship. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts so that what we have experienced here tonight or today is not just another show, is not just another entertainment, is not just another put on, but it will truly be an encounter with you where your word has truly made us whole. We say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have truly been blessed through this service, come on and say amen. Amen. Praise be to God. The title of the message today is The Fear Not of Christmas. The Fear Not of Christmas. We live in a world where we need to be reminded to fear not. We live in a world where there are so many tragedies. There are so many uncertainties. There are so many things that's unpredictable, both in the financial world
in the health world, in terms of countries, in terms of what political leaders are going to do, in terms of wars, and in terms of earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis. We live in a world where we need to be reminded to fear not. God says over and over again in his word, fear not, I am with you. Amen. This past Wednesday, we talked about being in the world, but not of the world. And we did a different twist to it. Normally, we take that phrase to mean that, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of worldly things. But the reality is, when we worry, we are of the world. When we fret and when we get discouraged because of what's happening around us, we are of the world, meaning that we are allowing the things around us, the things of the world, to get to us. But God's children are in the world, but they are in the Word. Amen. And when you are in the Word, you can be not of whatever the world does. Whatever happens to the world, you are in the Word, and therefore your eyes is on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Fear not. Fear not. And when you look at the birth of Christ and the story that surrounds it, several times God says, fear not. And we're going to look at three of them. Is that all right? Three of them. The first fear not is found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Incidentally, because of this verse, we know that Jesus was not born in December. Because in December, in Palestine, it is very, very cold. At times, even it snows. And so shepherds will not be in the field with their flock. Can you say amen? It's estimated that by the time that shepherds will normally go in the fields, it has to be somewhere in the springtime onwards. Praise be to God. It does not mean that we do not use this opportunity, Christmas time, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise be to God. The more Christians that celebrate Christ's birth, is the less evolution that we will have in society. Amen. As a matter of fact, if I can just say something here, just the other day, I heard how I believe Washington, D.C., the mayor of Washington, D.C., signed some marriage certificates of same-sex marriages. Amen. And I says, when they voted this, where were the Christians? Do we retreat? Do we play dead? Absolutely not. Amen. We need to put our vote where our mouth is. Come on and say amen. And when any time that anything is up for a vote and it is of an immoral nature, whether it be same-sex marriage, whether it be abortion, whatever it is, we must let our voice be heard. Amen. We live here too. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said to them, what, everybody? Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Fear not. This is the fear not of salvation. What is it? It's the fear not of salvation. The angel said to them, I bring you good news of great joy, which is to all people. He says, unto you is born this day a what? A Savior. A Savior is one who saves. The fear not of salvation. It's the good news, and that's why we are here. That's what we are all about. We're here to let the world know about the good news. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And that's why the devil hates the church. Because he knows that a church that is organized, a church that is unified, and a church that has and sticks to its mission and follows its mission in sharing the good news is a church that can prevail against the gates of hell. He knows that. And so ever since the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, the devil has been trying to infiltrate the church because he found that he could not destroy the church. He could not kill off the church members. He could not persecute them fast enough, because the more he killed them, the more he persecuted them, is the faster they grew. And so he chose a different tactic. He said, if I can't beat them, I'm going to join them. And so the devil has been infiltrating the church. He has been allowing members to come into the church who will go down into the baptismal pool, a dry devil, and come up a wet devil. He even gets administrators to come into the church, preachers to come into the church, and therefore to lead the church astray. Right now, I got a call just this week from a member who said that their church is in absolute turmoil. Elders are fighting elders, and deacons are fighting deacons, and every single Sabbath is a drama. They can't even have an announcement in that church without people standing up and talking back. And this is a Seventh-day Adventist church. The devil hates the church with a passion. That's why he has allowed the church of the first century to become so corrupt. By the time of the 19th century, God can't even recognize his own church. In the first century, his church was symbolized by a pure woman in white robe. And by the 19th century, his church is symbolized by a woman who has purple robe, red robes, and had all kinds, decked with all kinds of jewelry, decked with all kinds of makeup, trying to allure and commit spiritual fornication and adultery. The devil hates the church. We are about the good news. And the message that God has for us today is fear not in spreading that good news. Fear not in letting people know that Jesus saves. Are you afraid to share your faith? Are you afraid to let people know about the good news of what God has been doing in your life? Or have you forgotten? God wants us to be bold. He wants us to not operate from fear, but from faith in sharing his good news. Hallelujah. The second fear not is found in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30 says, "And the angel said to her," what, everybody? "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God. One of the ways to fear not is to forget not. Amen. Because every single one of us also have favor with God. Hallelujah. And verse 35 says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you in your belly shall be called the Son of God." Glory to God. Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Come on, y'all. We have a super fear not in this Christmas holiday. A super fear not. It's a fear not because with God, all things are possible. In the same way that God came to Mary and God told Mary that you shall shall be born with the Son of God without a man being intimate with you. Mary went from a virgin single woman who was only engaged to be married. Come on. And God elevated her to be the mother of the Son of God. Every single person that God calls from darkness into light, He elevates them to a status and to a realm that they cannot function in of their own. Did you get that? That whenever God calls you, He always elevates you, that it's impossible for you to function where He elevates you unless He is with you. And in our human strength, we often, like Mary, we question what God is doing. Some people are at the very same level that they came into the church at because they are afraid to let go and let God. They are afraid to let God take them to a level and to operate and to serve and to function that which is out of their comfort zone. And the second message on this Christmas season is fear not. All things with God are possible. Come on and say amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, fear not. The final fear not is found in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a fair man, not willing to make her, Mary, a public example, was mindful to put her away secretly." Verse 20. "And while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not. Fear not to take to you Mary, your wife.
For that which is conceived in her is not by another man, but by the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took to him his wife. The third, fear not. It's a fear not of unconditional obedience. The fear not of unconditional obedience. We've talked about the fear not of salvation, being bold in living that salvific message in our soul. The fear not of also of, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Now the third fear not of unconditional obedience. Joseph, as you can see here, the Bible says he was a fair man. He was not one to embarrass anybody. He was a reasonable man. He was a man that you know what, my girlfriend is showed up pregnant. I have not even seen her ankle, much less her body. It wasn't me. And instead of trying to embarrass her, instead of trying to go after the guy who did it in his mind, the Bible says, you know what? I'm just going to call. He said, I'm going to call this engagement off secretly. We had a public engagement, but I'm just going, you know what, Mary? You go your way, I go mine. If anybody asks me for a reference from you, I'm not going to say a bad word about you. A fair man. A fair man. A kind man. Are Christians fair people? Kind people? Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, next quarter, you're going to learn more about that in your Sabbath school lesson. Talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the place, check this out, the place where our kindness gets tested is with those we love, with those we see on a regular basis. You ever heard of the statement or the phrase, familiarity breeds or can breed contempt? If we're not careful, that we would literally lash out with hostility and with brutish attitudes to those that we love. Amen. It's amazing how, as I look back on, I wish I can say, you know, out of all the people that I've performed a marriage ceremony for, none of them have divorced. I wish I can say that. But what's so interesting is how when I sit with them and I look at their eyes and they look at each other, it's like they can't take their eyes off each other. That to each other, they are the object of just
passionate love. Sometimes I get a phone call, sometimes I don't get a phone call. And then I hear that they're getting a divorce. The person that they loved so much is now the person they hate the most. And I ask myself the question, how can Christians hate? How is that possible to have been born again, been filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet hate somebody? You know, I can see where you can have irreconcilable differences, to use that phrase. I can see how, you know, somehow maybe you didn't do your homework well and you found out you're just so incompatible that your love was blind and marriage opened your eyes. Uh-huh. And I can see how maybe you're from two different cultures and you just didn't prepare for marriage and you're clashing all the time based on your temperaments and your personalities and so forth. But to hate, Joseph could have easily despised Mary. He could have easily picked up the telephone, you know, quote unquote, they didn't have phones back there, and talked bad about Mary, talked bad about Mary's family. But he didn't do that. He was a fair man. He was a fair man. And I think this Christmas season, God wants us to be reminded to not be afraid of being obedient. Not being afraid of carrying out those things that God puts in us through the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you somehow are at odds with somebody else, or you may have some differences, that's no reason to have to bring in envy and anything hateful or anything that is malicious. No, it's, people have differences all day, every day. It's a fact of life. But for the Christian person learns to control him or herself. Can you say amen? The Christian person learns to say, not I, but Christ. Hallelujah. And we have an advantage over Joseph. Joseph did not even know Jesus as the person who died for his sins. Joseph did not know about the Holy Spirit that fills us with power. Hallelujah. So we can be everything God wants us to be. But yet he knew God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he walked in the light that he knew. And because he walked in the light that he knew, he was chosen to be the father of the Son of God. God chooses every single one of us. Every single one of us. And he calls us up. And it says, here is my assignment for you. It may not be as radical as Mary's assignment or Joseph's assignment, but it is going to be a daring assignment. Can you say amen? Amen? Do you know that there are some people who are afraid of unity? I'm serious. Unity. Getting along, being happy with your neighbor, unity. It seems strange, but it happens. It happens. Fear not of togetherness. Fear not of linking up arm to arm. Fear not of loving and working with those that you don't know that well. Fear not of coming together. You know what's so interesting in a church? In every church, you always find the passionate personalities. You find those who are upfront, outspoken. And you find those who are behind the scenes, very quiet. But you always find individuals who are passionately outspoken. And what's interesting, those who are passionately outspoken, they always have a pet peeve. They always have something that they champion, something that they're passionate about, something that means the most to them, and they will be outspoken about it. You'll find those who are passionate about the standards of the church. They're passionate about the standards. And they'll be outspoken about it. They will let their voice be heard about it. But what's so interesting, in just a few years that I've been pastoring, my fourth church now, you find those same individuals often that they'll be up on one thing but down on another. And you'll find individuals who are so passionate about the standards, but they're down or quiet when it comes to unity, when it comes to respecting leaders, when it comes to getting along and following a vision for the church, a mission for the church, coming together with hope, with joy. What good are standards if we can't be unified? But then on the other hand, you may have individuals who are so passionate about unity, about coming together, about working together, about putting aside our differences. But yet, they're up on unity, but they're down on standards. That's just two examples. There are many. And if we as a church are going to come together, what we are going to have to do is take a page out of the book of Peter. Peter was a very passionate person, wasn't he? A person who spoke up first, a person who never was shy about making his opinions known. Yeah. But Jesus was patient with Peter, wasn't he? And he said one little thing to Peter. Peter, I love you, Peter. But Peter, when you get around to becoming converted, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Isn't that a nice, subtle approach to saying, Peter, you're not there yet. Amen? Yeah. And God wants us to not focus on ourselves, but to be you know, it's the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The Bible also said love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't sweep it under the rug. But love, you know, it finds a way of bringing us all together. Amen. You know, there are people who can't sit on this side of the church. And there are some people who can't sit on this side of the church. There's a whole lot of people who can't sit in front of the church. You know, there are people who, you know, they will come to worship service, but they won't come to Sabbath school. Believe it or not, there are people who come to Sabbath school, but they leave after Sabbath school, won't come to worship service. But we are the body of Christ. He allowed us to be a part of Him. And in this Christmas season, He wants us not only to fear not about being bold about the salvation message. He not only wants us to be bold and to fear not about, I got to look here, about all things are possible with God. Amen? But He also wants us to fear not about unconditional obedience to God. I want to close with this story that some of you may have heard about, a man who fell asleep one night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and Jesus appeared. The Lord told the man that He had a work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained to the man that he was to push against the rock with all his might and that he was to do this every single day. And so it goes on that this man, every day he pushed against the rock. Many years had gone by. From sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive rock, and he pushed with all his might. And each night the man returned to his cabin. He was tired, he was sore, he was worn out. But then he began to feel that his whole work is in vain because the rock wasn't moving. And for many years this went on, and he was showing signs of discouragement. And you know, they say that discouragement is the anesthetic that the devil uses before he cuts your heart out. And so whenever we get discouraged, the devil shows up. And the devil showed up. And he began to kind of put messages out there. And soon the man began to repeat these messages in his own mind. I've been pushing against the rock for a long time and it hasn't even budged. Why kill myself over this? I'm never going to move it. And so the man got the impression that he was a failure, and that what God had asked him to do was impossible. And so he said, you know what? I'm just going to put my time in. Some days he would just go to the rock and just kind of lightly push against it. It's not going to move anyway. Just going to put my time in. Just going to come. Just going to sit. Just going to put my time in. And this is what he decided to do day after day. But then he got disturbed about this and he got and become unsettled, and he looked to God and says, God, I've worked for you for a long time and I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to that which you have asked me to do, yet after all this time I have not even moved this rock one inch. Why did you ask me to do something that could not be done? And to this the Lord responded compassionately, my child, When long ago I asked you to serve me, you accepted. And I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once, though, did I mention that you were to move it. Your task was to push. Push with the promises of God. Push with day-to-day, moment-by-moment encounter with God. Push by keep on talking to God. Push by devoting your whole life to God. Push by lifting up others who are in a need of prayer. Push, push. And now you've come to me. Your strength has been spent thinking that you have failed. But have you failed? Take a look at yourself. Your once long and puny, skinny arms are now strong and chiseled with muscles. Your back that was once like spaghetti is now reinforced with sinews. Your hands that were so soft and so playful are now tough and can stand constant pressure. Your legs that can barely maintain your weight are now massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Amen. You haven't moved the rock, but that was not your assignment. Your assignment was to be obedient. Your assignment was to be courageous. Your assignment was to come and when I called you, and to push and to exercise your faith and to trust in my wisdom. And this you have done. And so now it's time to move the rock. And I will move the rock. God only asks for you to push against the rock. Not to move the rock. In other words, to do our very best in our work, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our service in the church. To do our best and not to try to figure out how to move the rock. Not to figure out how to move people. But true satisfaction comes by pushing with all our might against the rock. However, classic frustration comes when we try to push to move things. Or when we feel that our pushing moves the rock and we think by stop pushing the rock, the rock will not move. But it is God's job. Whose job? God's job to move the rock. Hallelujah. As 2009 comes to a close, And literally, we're about to enter the very final year of the first decade of the 21st century. I am determined to make my choice not to be afraid, to fear not when it comes to living out the message of the Christ, to fear not to realize, yes, with me, with other people, it's impossible. But with God, hallelujah, with God, all things are possible. I'm not going to quit now. I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to keep on pushing. And finally, to fear not when it comes to unquestionable, unconditional obedience to God. Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you right now? Where do you want to be? Where is God calling you to be? My prayer is that you will push. And to use that acronym, PUSH, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Don't gossip until something happens. Don't slander somebody's name until something happens. Don't complain until something happens. But pray. PUSH, PUSH. And leave the rock moving to God. I invite you to a prayer of commitment. I invite you to a prayer of fear not. A prayer of I'm going to let go and truly let God. Would you bow your heads with me as we commit on this Christmas season to being committed to not being afraid to let God do his thing in our lives. As I pray aloud, I invite you to give your own prayer in your heart and commit to God. Commit and just tell him how through his Spirit you're not going to be afraid anymore. But you're going to walk as he would have you walk. And the same way that he came to the shepherds, in the same way that he came to Mary, in the same way that he came to Joseph, he's coming to you, and you're not going to be afraid. Is that all right? Pray with me. And as I pray for you and myself for that commitment in this Christmas 2009. Father, what can we say? But thank you. Thank you that you did not forget us, did not leave us out. Thank you for waiting for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us over and over again. Thank you. Our response, Lord, we really don't have one. But thank God that you gave Jesus to be our response. And so we're going to accept him and let his voice, his message, his way, his truth, and his life be our response. We are weak, but he is strong. We're going to allow his strength to be our strength. his dunamis to be our dunamis. And so, Father, we need you. The flesh you gave us is not easy. It's contradicting to our faith. It's confusing to our faith. It's conflicting to our faith. But we heeded your voice. We must be born again. And so now we're not depending on the flesh, but we are born of the Spirit, depending on the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Not afraid, even though we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. Not afraid, even though the earth may quake, as it were, and the mountains may shake, even though the seas may roar and the swelling thereof. We're not going to be afraid, for you are our refuge, our hiding place. You are our strength. In you we will trust. And so, Father God, as we enter into another Christmas season, may our Christmas be filled with hope, courage, joy, and love. Thank you. And if you want to close your prayer and just say thank you, just say it out loud now. Thank you. Thank you. And I pray the mighty blessings of God on your life, that God that called you is the same God that will keep you, is the same God that will send you, is the same God that will clean you, is the same God that will fill you, and is the same God that when Jesus Christ comes again, he will take you up so that where he is, you also will be. May you be ever blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.